message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, thank you. Again, we are around your word to be taught. Thank you because our heart is opened. Our minds are receptive. We receive your word with meekness in the name of Jesus. Thank you because we are not just hearers alone, but we are doers of your word. And we are blessed indeed. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Please turn to your neighbor and say, welcome to church. Say, welcome to church. Amen. Is the screen displaying? Okay, this one is not working, that's why. Hallelujah. I'll always consider it a very big shoe to wear, but I thank God and Pastor for the privilege. Amen. So today we'll be going to the part 3 of the book of James. We started 3 weeks ago, right? And today we'll go into part 3. Should we wait for the screen? But are you saying it's done? Okay. Amen. You know, the book of James is a very blessed book. All the books are blessed. Amen. But the book of James explains so many things, and it talks about so many things that deals with Christian conduct, Christian faith, Christian walk. Prior to when I came into new Christian realities, people we termed temptations as coming from God. It'd be like, and God is testing you to see if you really love Him or something. Amen. But we learned last week, Pastor told us, alright, vividly, that God does not test any man. Okay? Temptations, trials, they are one and the same. They are not from God. Amen. Okay, please, can we go to James chapter 1, verse 17? Let's start from there. I just want to iterate what we did last week, what Pastor explained. So he said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. So it means God is good and there is no bad thing in God. Okay, God's goodness, okay, the goodness of God is so consistent. That's God's character. God has never changed. Remember I was singing, unchangeable, unchangeable God. Alright, it's not just a song. God does not change. God is not bipolar. It's not a God that today is happy and tomorrow is sad. Okay? God does not change like human mind. Okay? God is a spirit. God does not change. God is forever the same and the same. Amen. God, a spring of water does not bring out sweetness and bitterness. God cannot be sweet and bitter. God is good all the time. All the time. Amen. Hallelujah. So God, every good and perfect gift. So God does only good things. Only good things. Alright. And it's coming from our Father, the Father of light. Okay? God cannot be light and darkness. The way some of the Old Testament prophets explained it and all that. And they did that based on what they understood. Praise God. Hallelujah. Remember, none of them was born again. Amen. The Holy Spirit just came on them once in a while. Amen. So they had a very shallow revelation of who God was. Amen. So God is good. God is a good God. God does not change. God is always good. Amen. Hallelujah. So last week, Pastor explained, before this verse, he explained about the Christian exaltation has nothing to do with your status, or your achievements, or your physical qualifications. He explained it that it has only to do with any man that places faith in the finished work of Jesus. Alright? Every man, but either poor or rich, wealthy and all. Alright? See, as far as faith is placed on Jesus, it qualifies and makes everyone be on the same page. God does not have favorites. God does not have this person. I love this person better than this. Mm-mm. Everyone, okay, is on the same page as far as you have placed faith in the finished work of Jesus. That's what equalizes every man. Amen. That's why in churches, like big churches, you can see a banker, a bank manager cleaning the church. You can see a barrister serving as an usher in church. That's because they've understood that it is God, the exaltation of man, okay, from God. It's tandem to the faith placed on what Jesus has done for us. Hallelujah. So God does not show favoritism. Not at all. Amen. So he explained the character of God in James 1:17. Alright, and this character of God that was explained in James 1:17, it scatters every other testimony of the Old Testament prophets or any Old Testament saints. Example, Isaiah. If you check Isaiah 45 verse 7, can we go there please? Isaiah 45 verse 7. Okay, he said, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. This is not my God. Amen. Hallelujah. So you see, this is not God. God cannot create peace. Okay, come to think of it. If your earthly father, okay, your earthly father is someone that make peace and create evil, can you stay under his roof? Talk more of your heavenly father. Amen. So they didn't understand the character of God, because in the Old Testament, right, the devil was not in the picture. So every supernatural thing that happened was tagged to be God's doing, the Lord's doing. But it's not true. Hallelujah. We saw Job also saying it, and later saw that God was asking him, guy, what are you saying? Alright? Praise God. Amen. So today we're going to be continuing from verse 18. Can we go to verse 18? I think this is one of my favorite scriptures. If you are very close to me, you always hear me quote this place. I love this place very well. Can we read together? It said, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. This place is talking about the new creation person, the new creation man. Of his own will. So he willingly chose to begot us. Of his own will, he chose to begot us by the word of the truth. The word of the truth there means the gospel. The gospel of our salvation. We heard the gospel, we believed it, and we're saved. So that was what made us born again. And he said first fruit. So first fruit is a broad language from, you know, if you are into farming and you plant something, okay, if the plant starts germinating or something, it's possible, not really, no, I don't say it's possible. That very plant might be a plant that you've not seen before. That very first fruit, let's say you plant a maize here, alright, and you plant beans here. You can't plant maize and see beans. If you are planting maize, it means it's maize you see germinating. So he said, so that we should be a kind of first fruit. It means the believer, that's the man in Christ, has never existed before. We are first fruit. And our prototype is Jesus. So the believer has never existed before. The believer is a new breed. Is a new person. Amen. Kind of first fruit of his creatures. We are first fruit. Amen. In 1 Peter 1:23. Right, it's collaborated. Let's check. 1 Peter 1 verse 23. Can we read together? It said, being born again. Are we reading? Alright, 3 to go. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Go on. 24. He said, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Okay? 25. He said, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So, it means, please, can you, no, sorry, sir, can you go back to 24? 24, can we read? It said, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. So the grass withereth. All flesh is as grass. All flesh. The man in Christ is not as grass, because the man in Christ lives forever. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why verse 25, can we go to verse 25? He said, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. It is that word you heard that got you born again. So that word, okay, is what made you saved. So that word keeps you forever. Amen. The word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel preached unto you. Hallelujah. So we see Apostle Peter telling the man in Christ, saying the man in Christ is born anew, is not from perishable seed, okay, but of the imperishable. The man in Christ, that's a new man. Okay, in contrast to verse 25 that says all flesh is like grass, the man in Christ, okay, does not wither. It means there's no end to the man in Christ. That is why the believer, we don't say the believer dies, we say the believer sleeps, because we know that the believer will live again. So the man in Christ does not wither. You know what it means to wither? To get dry and possibly you get burnt. That's what happened to grass that gets withers, right? Amen. So, but the man in Christ has an unlimited, endless life. Our life is endless. Praise the Lord. Thus, the new man cannot end. The new man will live forever. Praise God. The gospel lives forever. So the new man, the man in Christ, okay, heard the gospel and got born again. The gospel is responsible for our recreation, is responsible for our regeneration. Okay, so you got born again, you cannot end. There's no end to the believer's life. The believer is forever. Okay, let's go to verse 19. Please go back to the verse 18 again. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. And I said that Jesus is our prototype, and we are the first fruit. We are the first fruit. So it means we never existed before. So the believer in Christ, okay, never existed before. You can see that in, let's turn our Bibles to John 3 verse 5 too. John 3 verse 5. Just to elaborate. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that is of the spirit, that is, okay. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. Water. You know, the Jewish man understands water to be newness. Alright. So water, meaning, it means of the spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. So what gave birth to us? The spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see 1 John 5 verse 1. Also, can we read together? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So you see, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, can we read? If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, this is your reality. This is who you are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Where are you in Christ? That's your location. That's where you are. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So he's a new creature. A new creature is a new creature. Alright? A new creature is a new creature. If I set this book ablaze right now, maybe set it on fire and it gets burned, it will turn to ashes, right? So that ashes is a new thing, separate from book. If someone sees the ashes, he won't know that it was a notebook. Alright, so that's a believer. It's even poor example I'm using, but a believer is a new person. Amen. Just the way a newborn baby have never existed before. That's who a believer is. And we are kind of a first fruit of his creature. Praise God. Amen. Let's see Titus 3 verse 5. Okay. It said, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Let's read, start from verse 4. Sorry. Verse 4. Can I start from 3? I want us to understand. Okay, yeah. It says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, okay, hateful and hating one another. Verse 4. It said, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Are you saying? No, please, sorry. Let's remain there. Verse 4. It said, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. That's Jesus. Okay? Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. So, this verse 18 of James 1, all right, just explains the new creation. When you say you are a new creation, that boast is not on flesh. Oh. That boast is on Jesus. You make your boast in the Lord. I'm a new creation. A natural man will not understand that thing. It's deep beyond what we see. Praise God. Amen. So let's go to verse 19. Now, in verse 19, it took a new tone. It said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, this is, instead of talking about Christian living, this is different from, it took a new tone here. Alright? Instead of talking about Christian living, it said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. It means you should be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So, it means, a believer should always count words before speaking. A believer should speak as though, I don't say as though he's speaking to God, but a believer shouldn't speak because there's an avenue of speaking or there's an occasion for you to speak. Mm-mm. A believer should be quick to listen but slow to speak. Praise God. Amen. You know, there's a reason God gave 2 ears and 1 mouth. You listen quick and you speak so slow. There's a reason to it. It means there are some words that are not supposed to be seen or supposed to be heard from a believer's mouth. If you read Ephesians 4, okay? I think around verse 15, 16, I'm not too sure now, but Ephesians 4, it talked about, or is it 21? Please, let's go to Ephesians 4, 21. Let me be sure. Yeah. No? 21. Okay, taught by him. Okay, can you go to 20? Okay. 23. Have we seen 21? Okay, let's go to 25. We must see it. I'm putting a real line. Okay? 26. Yeah. Thank you. So, be angry and sin not. Let not sun go down upon your wrath. 27. Neither give place to the devil. 28. Let's see. Okay. Do you have amplified version? What other version do you have? Okay. Okay, please go to the 26. Same thing. I think Amplify explains it better. Okay, when it said we shouldn't speak, all right? Anything you are speaking should be good for that occasion. Okay? Believers don't talk because there's mouth to talk. 29. Okay, let's go to 29. Yeah, thank you. 29. I like this version. It said, no rotten talk should come from your mouth, but only what is good for the building up of someone in need, in order to give grace to those who hear. So your speech should be seasoned with grace. Okay? We don't talk like because there's always time to talk. Mm-mm. As I said earlier on, there's reason for God giving us 2 ears and 1 mouth. Be slow to speak. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why a believer should not be found saying vulgar words, saying words like, you get, you know what I mean? Anything you are saying, alright, should building up someone in need. Because someone needs to hear you and get built up. Someone shouldn't hear you and only the conversations that proceed from your mouth are vain conversations that doesn't build people up. People listen to you and they get tired. It's like something is leaving them. That's not who a believer ought to be. Your speech should be seasoned with grace. Be slow to speak. Amen. Hallelujah. Believers are not talkatives. The only way you see a believer talking, alright, is talking God's word. When we are doing confession, that is when your talkativeness and preaching the gospel, that is where the talkative nature of you should show itself. Not randomly. Amen. Praise God. We should learn not to speak so quickly, even in situations where we are supposed to explain ourselves. Don't do that, because that's not a good Christian virtue. Okay? Believers are, I told you earlier on, I said we are new creation. We are first fruit. We are kind of a first fruit of his creature. Praise God. Alright, can we continue? Let's go back to King James. Okay, don't worry, I can use this. Let's leave the HCB. Okay, my dearly beloved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Okay? Slow to anger. A believer should be slow to anger. There are some situations that warrant you busting or something. Mm-mm. Be slow to anger. Be very slow to it. You know what slow motion is? You used to do slow-mo now with your phone or something. Be slow to anger. Be slow to speak. Amen. For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. It does not show the righteousness of God while you are being angry. Okay, it does not show that you have proclaimed, you have said it, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Okay, the righteousness of God has been wrought on you. It doesn't show it when you are angry. Okay? So it means people will be like, wait till they wear this, huh? You have double identity or something. Amen. I so much love the book of James. I don't know, because I love every other book. Verse 20. Okay. So no one can live righteously by living in wrath, living in anger. Okay. You can't live righteously. And a believer is a righteous man. That is why your prayer has power. Okay. You see, in prayers, in confession, in evangelism, that's where believers should even talk more. But you see, believers, they can talk from morning to evening, and when you call for evangelism, say, I'm shy. Do you get it? Say, I'm shy. Pray. 5 minutes, I'm tired. 2 minutes, I'm tired. So this is not your reality. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go to verse 22. Okay, 21. It says, therefore, ridding yourself of all moral filth and evil excess, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Humbly. So, receiving God's word with meekness, okay, that meekness is humility. You can't receive God's word with so much pride in your head because you won't get it. Hallelujah. See, God's word works for a man that is humble. That's it. Because God's word, okay, is a mirror. We'll come there. Let's go to 22. Go to 21 first, sir. 21 before, yes. He said, therefore, ridding yourself of all moral filth and evil excess, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save you. 22. He said, but be doers of the word and not hearers alone, deceiving yourselves. So you humbly receive God's word. There's a reason for hearing. You are hearing to do. Okay? We don't hear God's word and just say, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. And we don't do it. Mm-mm. We are deceiving ourselves. Deceiving yourselves. But be doers of the word and not hearers alone. So the reason why you are hearing is to an end, to do. Praise God. The believer hears God's word to do it. 23. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. 24. For he looks at himself, goes away, and right away forgets what kind of man he was. You see? How many of us have mirrors in our houses? Ladies should have. I've never seen a lady that doesn't have a mirror. Even inside their bags. Praise God. If you have a mirror, okay, in your house, and you check yourself, wow, you should just be like, oh, I'll be fine girl, fine babe, and all that. You know, there are sometimes you look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, God took time on me. Eh? Amen. So after all that, then you leave your house, and yes, let's say you're just walking, and some random person is just like, this is good. Shouldn't even find safe. And if you take it to heart, it means you didn't believe the judgment of your mirror. Your mirror told you who you were, but you are receiving the identity the world is throwing at you. Okay? Same thing with God's word. God's word is a mirror. You've seen that you're righteous in Christ Jesus. You see that you are holy, you are set apart. It means the reason why you know that you are righteous and you are holy is for you to walk righteously and it's for you to live holily. Yes. The reason why you are, okay? You are a new creation to act it. Yes, we are not new creations, just new creation like that. Mm-mm. We are new creation for a reason. The reason why a believer is righteous is for a reason, to live righteously. Praise God. Amen. So anyone who hears God's word, okay, and acts beside himself, the person deceiving his own self, okay? Example is, let's say we see a sheep playing in the mud or something. You'll be like, guy, you are a sheep. You are not a pig. Because only pigs are permitted. That's their nature or something. It's part of their makeup to play in mud and dead sea, okay? Not sheep. So what you do is you just have to carry that sheep. You bait the sheep, alright? And maybe you touch his head small and say, guy, you don't go there again because this is who you are. And the sheep say, yes, I remember now. So what makes people to act beside themselves is forgetfulness. Yes, we act beside ourselves after seeing ourselves in the mirror of God's word because we forget. That's what makes a believer to live anti his nature in Christ Jesus, because we forget. We forget that we are new creation. We forget that we are bought with a price. We forget that we are recreated in Christ Jesus unto good works. You are not recreated to just remain like that and just be, the way pastor always say, you are not a believer, or you are not, Jesus did not give his life to live a free range kind of living. Do you get it? You are just enjoying life, just living. I'm not saying a believer should not enjoy life. You know what I mean when I say enjoyment. Alright? You are a believer with a responsibility. You are saved, okay, for something. Praise God. You are saved to be useful. Praise the Lord. not being a doer of God's word is a problem of forgetfulness. You see, in one of Pastor's tip, I think what's the title of this tip again? I think he was talking about context, charismatic deniers. Yeah. He was talking about how that the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit are one and the same. Okay? They are not different persons. No. They are not different expression or different attribute or something. No. They are one and the same. The same Spirit that inspires you to heal the sick or empowers you to heal the sick. The same Spirit that inspires you to walk in love toward your brethren. They are the same Spirit. So if some persons that are having faults, okay, they have faults, like they don't express this fruit of the Spirit of love. Okay? So they now start saying all they do is they heal the sick, they can heal the sick, they can raise the dead back to life and all that. But it's the same spirit that makes you raise the dead to life, the same Spirit that makes you walk in love, the same Spirit that makes you don't live a double life. Okay, the same Spirit guides your thoughts, guides your speech and everything. And see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Any believer that is seen talking anyhow, it means you are not full of God's word. You cannot be full of God's word and you talk anyhow. Because you'll be counting what you are saying. Amen. So the reason why we talk anyhow as believers is because we are not full of God's word. And it's very wrong. A day should not pass a believer by, and especially a member of this church, that the person should not listen to a tip, pastor's tip. I'll just be like, how do you do it? Even if it's around 12 a.m. and I know I've not listened to pastor's tip, you see me in my jotter and my book. It's something that I've imbibed, like I've made. I'm not saying you should do it though, but you should listen to pastor's tip on a daily. It grows you. You won't know. Amen. Hallelujah. The thing is that if you start getting too familiar with God's word, this is what will happen, because some people still get familiar with God's word. Familiarity is not even to people, also to God, towards God. If you start getting familiar with God's word and be like, I don't hear this thing before. Mm-mm. See what will happen. Before you know, the one you think you know will start leaving you. We don't get God's word is spirit and life. You don't get too familiar with God's word. See, God's word is new every morning. Anytime I can listen to pastor's tape four times, and I'll be learning new things each time I'm replaying the audio. Praise God. Amen. So a believer should give his or herself to the ministry of God's word. Amen. Can we go to verse 26? Okay. So if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Okay, you know, as believers, we have some Christian duties. Some Christian, I don't call it religion, because if I say religion, it looks somehow. Let me call it Christian duties we perform. Things like hospitality, things like charity. You get it, as believers. Okay, we do this. Now, he's saying, if any man among you seem to be religious, that's, you do all these things, all this charity and all. He said, and bridleth not his own tongue. That means you cannot bridle your tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is in vain. It means it's worthless. We're still going back to mouth, tongue. Praise God. So it is a test of Christian maturity to be in charge of your words, to be in charge of your tongue. You should be master of your tongue. You should master it. Amen. Like today, was it today? Yes, today I went to the bank to make withdrawal or something. I was using the ATM, and I was standing. Someone was beside me. I was just waiting for the guy before me, okay, to finish his everything, and I think network was poor or something. And this one that was there just said something. My mom was just like, I don't know if he marry you for my life. I'm serious. Is that serious? And what he said is not something big. Like, he said, which can wahala be this? I don't suffer today. In my head, I was just like, hey, now, wow. Like, I was just like, please let me do and leave this place. This is not my domain, I beg. I can't stay here. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, we should be in charge of our words, okay? And see, as I said earlier on, you can't say what you don't have. It is what is inside. See, a believer's life, okay, is inside out. It's not outside in. It is what is inside that comes out. It's what is inside that shows forth. If what is in your heart is baggage, that's what will be coming out. If every time, every 5 minutes, in, let's say in 10 minutes, you've not said like two vulgar words or two, I don't know, you know them, then it means you need to do a serious retreat. And I'm serious about it, because you are not matured. Okay? Christian maturity is you being in charge of your words. You are in charge of your tongue. You don't say things at impulse. Okay? Praise the Lord. So a believer must learn to be in charge of his words. Be quick to hear and slow to speak, as we've said earlier on. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if the Bible calls you holy, it means you are holy. No two ways about it. So you are to live holily. You know, I was telling someone a few days ago, I said, they've made this something to be like a circle. We have grace circle, faith circle, and spirit circle. I think I was talking to a minister, right, in church about it. We're just having a very beautiful discussion. I said, the faith, grace, and spirit, we are supposed to eat from everything. A believer should not be doing spirit. When I say spirit, you know what I mean? You can pray in tongues for 24 hours and you don't get tired. You rakakakaka go, you lay down, you everything. Okay, but you don't know how to walk in love. You are very resentful. You can't be corrected by a spiritual head or something. Something is wrong with that spirit. Something is wrong with you. Because it's the same spirit, the same Holy Spirit that makes you pray that much. The same Holy Spirit will tell you, wait, don't you hear God while praying? Because prayer is a dialogue, right? And see, it is the fullness of God's word that you have in spirit inside of you that makes you pray more. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how do we pray. I don't start asking individual questions. It is how full you are, okay, with God's word that helps you pray more. Have you noticed that any day you don't study God's word, you'll be counting what to pray about? Because God's word is what helps you to pray. So, see, God's word, God's spirit, is one and the same. So, don't deceive people. You are deceiving people and you are deceiving yourself by saying you are walking. That's not walking in the spirit. You know, some people think walking in the spirit is walking and praying, shouting. Blah, 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 blah. You are just blasting in tongues. You are walking and disturbing the area. That's not walking in the spirit. Walking in the spirit is why doing that thing. Somebody does something very, very bad to you. Something that can even make you cry at that spot. And you are not resentful toward the person. You still come back and you still hug the person. Wow. That's walking in the spirit. Yeah. It's not easy, right? That someone will offend you so big with so much offense that will even give you sleepless nights. But you don't... See, have you ever seen a believer that sleeps with anger against someone? You're not a believer. You cannot sleep. Can you sleep? Oh. You can't sleep. It has happened to me before. I could not sleep. I had to wake up to pray. I was not praying for myself. I was praying for the person. Because see what happens. The moment you start praying for that person, the love of God that should have brought in your heart now start dominating you. It will dominate you. I might see the person tomorrow and be like, hey sis, how are you? Are you okay? See, walking in the spirit, it's so easy when you are full of God's word. It's very, very easy. Very, very easy. That's why to a normal mind, you'd be like, this girl is a mumu or something. What's wrong with this one? Why is she? No. You like your sleep, Abby. You want to sleep well. So please, just pray for them and walk in love. If you like your sleep, I'll say it again. If you like your sleep, except you don't like your sleep, else you won't be able to sleep. Praise the Lord. So God's word is a mirror, alright? You don't act outside God's word. God said you are righteous, you live the righteous life. Okay? It means the moment you start noticing that's like a day should not pass you by that you don't do introspection. There's no day that I don't introspect. In fact, at night before I sleep, you see, after my prayers, you see me thinking about everything I went through, okay? Everything that I involved myself during the day. But like, okay, what did I say? Okay. Oh, I'm not supposed to say this. Okay. Next time. So, see, that's what will make you live a very straight life as a believer, because you're introspecting yourself daily. If you allow it to be 1 week, so you might not remember. That's what I'm saying. You might not remember. But if you do it daily, it will really help you. You can listen to our tape, Introspection. Pastor explained very well, and there are vivid explanations of all those things. Praise God. All the attributes of the Spirit, okay, are supposed to find expression in the believer. All the attributes. And they are spelled out in Galatians 5:22. But we see some believers that they don't express it. Please, let's go to Galatians 5:22. Can we read together? It said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering." Please, say long-suffering. Say long-suffering again. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Say temperance. Cool your temper. That's what it means. Temperance. Against such, there is no law. So we have believers that just because they express some of this, okay, and they don't express some, so they will now make that one don't express to look like they are faulty, because they are supposed to express all the fruit of the Spirit are supposed to find expression in you, all of them. Meekness, temperance, long suffering. As a believer, you must learn long suffering. It should be part of your life. It's not suffering from wala suffering or something. You're learning long suffering. You're learning patience, temperance. You're so patient. No matter what, you're not moving. Nothing is moving you. You are patient enough. You know, I was sharing with a beloved of mine. I was telling her, see, if you can, as a believer, okay, if you can learn long suffering, you will enjoy relationship. Because, you know, some people think relationship life is different from marriage. It is though. But a relationship is building you for marriage, Abby. Have you not seen people that they cut for one month and they break up? Okay. Super story though. 1 week. I've not seen 1 week. Have I seen 1 week? I don't know, but I've heard about 1 week. Even 3 days. Learn long suffering. It will help you everywhere. One thing about God's word is that it doesn't just help you in one life. That's why you don't have separate life. You have just one life. God's word helps you in totalitarian completely. So give yourself to the ministry of God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we see 2 Peter 1 from verse 9? From verse 5, sorry. 2 Peter 1. Okay, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, verse 6, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, verse 7, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Charity is love. You should add it to your faith. Okay, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. It says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." So the reason why the believer lives a contradictory life is because he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Yes. We forget. We shouldn't forget. the person who acts beside himself, all right, is as a result of forgetfulness. The word of God is given to you to do. Amen. Be ye doers of. The word of God is given to do. See Deuteronomy 30 verse 14. Deuteronomy 30 verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou what mayest do it. So the word is given for you, given to you to do. The word of God is not given to you to do. You just be. There should be a corresponding action. That's obedience. That's Christian obedience. That's you doing the word. That's when you say, Jesus is my Lord. Because his word is Lord. Okay? So when you're saying, Jesus is my Lord, it means his word is Lord over you. You know, it is trouble for you to start separating Jesus from the word, or God from the word. Because the word, Jesus, God, they are one and the same. Please show us John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Are you seeing? So don't start separating, I love Jesus, but God's word is saying, you are this, you are that, you're righteous. Okay, let me ask you a question. How can the world know that you are righteous? How can the world know? By living righteously. They won't know. Okay, how can the world know that you are born again? Do you get it? In Matthew 5. Please, let's go to Matthew 5 from verse 45. Okay. Matthew 5. Verse 45. Can you go to verse 43? Okay, yeah. You have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. That was the law they were giving then. Now this is a different testament completely right now. Verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. It's hard work, right? There's no hard work. Because you know what? These things are spelled out in the scriptures for us to do. The Holy Spirit in us helps us do it. It's not easy. You know that someone wants to kill you and you're still loving the person. Not like he like stabbing you or something, but you know that this person, his plans towards me is actually bad and everything, but you are still, not hypocritically, you are genuinely loving the person, showing the person love. You can even say, sorry sis, what shoe size do you wear again? Okay, alright, okay. Then on Sunday you just come, say, sorry, I got you this. The person will be like, hey. Wait, do you know how you pay evil for evil? Do you know how you pay someone who does evil to you? By doing the person good. You don't weaken. Yes. The person can't do you evil anymore. Okay, let me give you an assignment. Just check. Is there anyone that is so unbittered with you or something? Just see, buy the person gift. It can be a rose, it can be something, you know, a shirt. See, just buy the person gift and, you know, just give the person. Then when we meet on Sunday, tell me. Amen. Verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. So, now he's trying to explain what this our Father in heaven does. He said, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. I see the impartiality of God. That's us. If somebody asks me, so, what are you trying to say? Sit down, Gotina. He does not believe the gospel, but it's prospering. No. Yeah. It is the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. God is good to him, but he won't know. Yes. So, are you trying to say that God is not good to the believer? That's not what I said. Do you know who you are in Christ Jesus? Enforce your authority by speaking God's word. Amen. Praise God. So, remove that. I don't know, when you say prosperity, you know, in the book of James, alright, I think 1st John, I'll be 3rd John, 3rd John verse 3, that talks about the believer prospering. You see, he trusts that we prosper, even as our soul prospers. Prosperity is in every side. It's everywhere. It's in totalitarian. It means you should not prosper in your finance above the way you prosper in your soul. Your soul is your mind. So it means as you're prospering, it means learning God's word and growing in God's word is prosperity. Do you get it? So prosperity is all around. It's not just having money in your bank account. Prosperity is also in your mind, in your soul. It means prosperity, your health also needs to prosper. So it means it should be the same level of prosperity. One should not be having kwashoko and the other one is okay. Praise God. Amen. Yes. 3 John 1 verse 2. Yeah, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Prosper. Financial prosperity. And be in health. Even as thy soul, your mind prospereth. Praise God. The way your mind prospers is by God's word. You grow. Amen. Amen. So can we go back to the Matthew? Because we're saying, how can the world know that we are born again if we don't live the life that is spelled out for us in the scriptures, in God's word? Matthew. Let's go back to the Matthew. Matthew 45. Matthew 5. Yes. Can we go to verse 46 before here? For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans, that is the Gentiles, don't they do the same? Don't the unbelievers love those that love them and hate those that hate them? That's what it's saying. Then verse 48 and 47, okay. And if you salute your brother, your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? If you greet only those that are your brothers, okay, and you don't greet those that are not your brothers, don't the Gentiles do that? Don't unbelievers do that too? They do. 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He has explained the perfection already before here. Amen. You are perfect because you show impartiality. That's perfection. You are not partial. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please, let's go to chapter 2. So we'll just touch 2 verses, then we call it a day. James. We are done with chapter 1, right? We are done with chapter 1. What's the last verse in chapter 1? 26. Yeah, so my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Verse 2. For if there come unto your assembly a man with gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. Now we're going to talk about this perfection here very well. Verse 3. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. That's the one that is shining, you get, the rich man. And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. And now you say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. You know, you remember footstool, right? Okay, verse 4. He said, are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? So it means in a local assembly, we should not have, I don't know if some churches does this, or I don't know. Let me assume they are not doing it. That those that have money in church, you know now, it's not everybody that will have money in church. Some are like this, and you know what I mean. But in Christ, we are all the same. You know now, I'm not trying to bring down anybody. You get, it means we are not supposed to have separate seats for those that give offerings in dollars, and have separate seats for those that give offerings in naira, and have separate seats for those that give money in euro. Euro is higher than dollar, right? Or when you see a poor man come, you say, no, sit down there. You're supposed to sit down that side. Don't sit near, we would like the man to that have money, sit down close to the fan, so that, or the AC and something. No, you're not perfect like your heavenly father. It means we don't show favoritism in church. See, the church is a place that equalizes every man. Forget your status, forget what you have, your achievements, your qualifications. In Christ, we are all the same. Nobody have bigger rank. Have a bigger akapo of here. No. Praise God. We are all the same. And God is impartial. Are you not seeing it that it's even good to unbelievers? So we don't allow preferential treatment in church. Nobody is whisked in church. I mean, nobody is the beloved. Everybody is the beloved. Everybody. That is why Christianity, alright? That's why salvation is not without your works. So that no man will boast. No one will say, I did this thing. I built that church now. I built the church. No one will say that. It's not by works. So that every man, if you want to be boastful, our boastfulness, or we being boastful, is in Christ Jesus. We make our boast in the Lord, not in what we can offer or something. Are we saying offering these things in church or local assembly is bad? No. It doesn't time, no. It's not. Mind you, there's reward, right? Should we are doing Faith's Book of Record for Sunday service. There's reward. But in the side of exhortation, or in the side of treating people in church, we treat everyone equally. Equally. No one is your best. No. Mm-mm. Praise God. Because church is growing people. And there are some persons whereby, if you show like you love this one more than this one, some person might be downcasted or something. And it might start leading to strife and or unnecessary resentment. Praise God. Amen. So, as Christ loved the church, that's how we love the church. You should love your brother or something, your sister in church. You don't treat this one as, no. Though you might have those persons that you are more closer to in church or something, but if you are in church, you show love to everyone, because everyone deserves it. Deserves love. Happy? Amen. So don't allow partiality in church. There should be equity and justice. Faith in Christ equalizes every man. I said it earlier, and Pastor said this last week. Amen. So if you are having favoritism to some persons in church, you are transgressing God's word. Please go to verse 5 so we see it. Hearken, my beloved brethren, had not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? See, if a man is as poor as, this is the poor as the church rats, I don't know where they got that thing from. If a man is as poor as what, and that man come into Christ, the man is so rich in Christ. But do you know what it means to be in Christ? That's what I'm saying. Thank God we started with you, your new creation realities already in verse 18 of chapter 1. Praise God. Amen. Had God not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that love him. So everyone is an heir. Nobody has heir with double crown. Nobody is an heir with double crown. There might be double crowns. Based on your Christian work or your Christian sacrifices. Do you get it? But on the level of salvation, everybody is the same. Everybody is one and the same. Praise the Lord. Verse 6. but you have despised the poor. We don't do that here. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat. Apostle James is really teaching here. He said, do not blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called. Alright? Verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. 9. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So you see, if you do that, you are a transgressor. You are transgressing God's word. You are going against. To be a transgressor means to go against. You are going against God's word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's see verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. I feel pastor should start from verse 10 next week. Because this place is deep. This place is talking about if the law is in totalitarian, alright? If you keep, let's say we have 500 laws and you keep 409, and there are more than 500, I think there are up to 612 laws, alright? If you offend in one, if you do all and you offend in one, you have broken all. Yes. So if you are living by the law, which we are not, okay? But we do God's word willingly and freely. Amen. Because the regulator himself lives on our inside. Hallelujah. Hope we're blessed. Hallelujah. Can we rise as we pray? Can you say this prayer after me? Say, Father, thank you for your word that have come to us. I'm a doer of your word. I'm a doer of your word. Can you just say, can you just speak it? Can you just pray it and say, Father, I'm a doer of your word. I'm not just here alone. I'm a doer of your word because it's the doer of the word as a blessed man. Father, I'm a doer of your word in the name of Jesus. Man shatala bakataya dagadaga. I do not act beside myself. After looking at myself in the mirror of your word, I'm a doer of your word in the name of Jesus. Imarako satan darabados kimashate. Elebrega baliakos kimashantala badia. Ekapanda badiakos kimashate. Father, we thank you. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name of prayer. Amen. You may be seated.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.